I died for beauty, but was scarce adjusted in the tomb when one who died for truth was lain in an adjoining room. He questioned softly why I failed. For beauty, I replied, and I for truth, themself are one. We brethren are, he said. And so, as kinsmen met a night, we talked between the rooms until the moss had reached our lips and covered up our names. You see, truth and beauty must be the axis that regulates the wheel of the world we want. Presently, it's the soulless who make the decisions for us. This cannot be if we are to honor our full humanity. Perhaps the central question, and this is returning to our quote from our good three, Giovanni Arrighi, Terence K. Hopkins, and Emmanuel Wallerstein. Perhaps the central question is this: how and to what extent can the well-organized arms of progressive movements in Western Europe, framed as they are by their current forms and immediate concerns, claiming the state, recompose themselves into agencies not of national realization, but of world historical transformation? This recomposition would mean they became in the future as subversive of the interstate system per se as they have in the past been its products and proponents. Of the processes that stem from capital's ongoing centralization, the second and third entail the redefinition of trajectories of both the dynamic of centralization of capital and the movements that form in response. For the denationalization, this is the second of the processes that, in terms of movement formation, for the denationalization of domestic labor forces suggests a fundamental change on the part of the left as to what national means. To accomplish the reconception will entail a degree and kind of substantive and rhetorical inventiveness not presently in ascendance within prominent movements. And the third process that stems from the centralization of capital, the increasing salience of the gender question, entails the further generalization from the pauperization of women to the pauperization of people on a world scale. That is precisely the change in consciousness the very effectiveness of the organizations and core zones may help to bring about as part of world scale movements that bypass and so subvert interstate arrangements. And we're going to be, unquote, we're going to be thinking about, I mean, we've been suggesting that there's an element of magical thinking, but perhaps it is, that is to say, magical in the sense of believing that you can subvert interstate arrangements by and still keep intact the overall centralization of capital processes that are going on. Anyway, we're gonna be pondering this whole issue of how do we create a consciousness that's a global consciousness that we are all in this together, which is what they're saying. The outer from the inner derives its magnitude. And so we're going to have to think about this. I think this is something that we need to explore further. What Emily Dickinson is saying in relation to this system of class that we've got, because it is a wheel that has been turning for thousands of years, and we have been arguing that these power guys longing to create their vision, that this vision of theirs has been turning the world at least for 250 years, and that the world of class itself, in a sense, has been turned by a longing for supremacy, a longing to maintain a system of rule that allows the very, very few to feel like gods. So we have been allowing this compulsion of the tiny few to drive all of us. So we need to sort of take charge of that axis with a healthy longing. Our longing for love and truth and beauty, and for the continuous growth of our humanness. The outer from the inner derives its magnitude. 'Tis duke or dwarf, according as is the central mood. Like the way she puts that. That sort of covers it all, doesn't it? The central mood. Be that dangerous, unhealthy obsession, or be that life's longing for itself. Nothing healthier than that. The fine, unvarying axis that regulates the wheel, those spokes spin more conspicuous and fling a dust the while. The inner paints the outer, the brush without the hand. Its picture publishes precise, as is the inner brand. On fine arterial canvas, a cheek, perchance a brow, the star's whole secret in the lake, eyes were not meant to know. And that's number 451. What we're suggesting is that she's describing the micro that applies equally to the macro of this deadly, dangerous system of class we've been stuck in.